more about what this arrangement could look like and how it's affecting farmers, we are joined by Bronwyn Petrie, a farmer from Tenterfield, New South Wales. Good morning, Bronwyn.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, look, my pleasure.
Now, this current koala protections called the Koala SEPP, they only allow for certain actions. Can you describe some of these actions for us?
Yes, it's the actions it's the ramifications with how the new koala SEP intertwines with our Local Land Services Act and regulations. And it's the Local Land Services Act and regulations that govern all our vegetation management on farms across New South Wales. We've been under a koala habitat protection since 1995 with the previous SEP 44 koala protection. The new SEP that came in on Christmas Eve last year has changed fundamentally the definition of core koala habitat. Previously, you had to have a breeding population of koalas and suitable species. There were 10 koala feed trees. That has now been changed to 123 use trees, including invasive native species, and also there doesn't even have to be a koala there. It's just if there's a record in the National Parks Bionet in the last 18 years where someone thinks they've seen or heard a koala. And so it says possible sightings, probable sightings, nothing actually verified. So the impact of that is coupled with this map that's been produced, which has included mapped over our house and the Grafton roundabout and all sorts of odd and strange things. That then, if we need to do anything that requires a development application, say if we need to build a bigger shed than the complying development in our council, we would have to do a koala study. And as we saw from the bushfire victims down in the south coast, they were looking at $10,000 at least to check that there were no koalas in their burnt out ruins. The next step is that if councils then adopt core koala habitat in the koala plan of management, that completely removes our farms from the Local Land Services Act and regulations and puts us under the sole control of councils under what is called a vegetation in non-rural areas SEP. So the name of that itself should explain the problem we have as farmers being controlled under a council non-rural vegetation planning instrument instead of our Local Land Services Act and regulations. So it's quite serious. We all want to protect koalas. And one of the best ways is to keep the fuel loads out so fires don't get in the tops of the trees and, of course, to stop dogs and cars killing them.
It definitely sounds like it's going to make really drastic changes on your control of your farm. And obviously, you know, there's probably not going to be koalas right on the roundabout.
But yeah, definitely not. Oh, I hope not.
I would hope not. But we also do need to balance this with koala care, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, koalas are not just an iconic species internationally, but Australians. We all love koalas, you know. I've yet to meet someone who doesn't love koalas.
Absolutely.
We've actually got over 30 threatened and endangered species on our properties, and we're really proud of that because my son's sixth generation, so that shows that those species have thrived with our active management of land. And if you talk to Aboriginal people, they say Australia is a lived landscape. It's not a landscape where you just lock it up and like a picture postcard and expect it to stay that way. You have to keep actively managing it. And unfortunately, these new definitions coupled with the map, and the map is only predictive modelling, and as we can see, it is just... I suggest anyone goes into the Department of Environment website and pulls up that map and have a look at your local area and just see the pink areas say that if you're under the pink, you need to, if you put in a development application, you will have to do a koala study. And the blue mapping layer gives council guidance to concentrate their site investigations there. It's pretty well any tree that's covered in three quarters of New South Wales, including in centres of towns and on the Newcastle foreshore. So we're just asking for the farmland to still be controlled by the Local Land Services Act and regulations, and have our koala protections in there, which are also governed by the Biodiversity Conservation Act, the EPNA Act, and the Federal Environmental Protection for the Biodiversity Conservation Act. We've got lots and lots of layers of protections there for threatened species. We need to get those inaccurate maps removed, and we really need a good verification process if someone really does see or hear a koala, because we want to make sure they're protected where they are. So that's our position. We certainly support the government when they go to Cabinet to have a really good, honest look at what is in the new legislation compared to the previous one, have a sensible list of feed trees, because we know koalas are extremely fussy, which is why it's very important to protect their feed trees, and make sure that core koala habitat actually has a koala in it.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And you're right, we do need to be balancing a caring for country and management. But it could be fair to say that there aren't people as who have as good intentions, and we do need that protection, but maybe we need a more of a collaboration than just, I don't know,
look,
paperwork.
Absolutely. And there are government processes. As the Planning Minister and the Environment Minister have both said, this koala set is really focused on urban expansion. And koalas actually like the best country. They, you know, they have to get their water from the leaves. That's why they like fresh leaves. And that's why there's so many koalas along the coast, because obviously it's a higher rainfall. But there are definitely koalas through the bush in different areas, no denying that. The real focus and intention of this Act was for urban development, and clearly koalas are under great threat there, as well as the threat of bushfires out in the regional areas. So as we're saying, better management of public lands. I mean, after all, national parks take up 10% of this state. Better management to prevent crown fires, and in the urban expansion, my oath, you have to do those studies to make sure you are not killing koalas in expansion of people's houses or apartments or whatever that happens to be. It's really critical that we do look after the koalas, because they can't escape things like fires, cars, dogs, because they're pretty slow moving. So we really have to look after them. And where they are, obviously there's other species as well. So I just hope some common sense prevails. This is, I mean, I still think the definition of core koala habitat should be fixed, even for those that urban development expansion. But also, because, you know, people still need to have somewhere to live, etc. But you have to remove this from the farmland and let the farmland be controlled by the other acts that are tied into the Local Land Services Acts and Regulations.
Unfortunately, we are going to have to leave it there. But Bronwyn, thank you so much for joining us on the show and chatting with us.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you to your listeners.